Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of the Radix Copycast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing lead nurturing campaigns and what they mean for copywriters. I'm Emily King, Radix's research and marketing executive, and today I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-House, our managing director and lead copywriter. And we're obviously here to talk about lead nurturing, but why is it so important for us, Fiona, today?
Yes, so I wanted to talk about lead nurturing on this podcast because it's something that we've really just started seeing our clients do in earnest this year. In fact, at the beginning of the year, we had a bit of a moment in that we had a lull in our business and wondered quite exactly what was going on because it all went very quiet for a few weeks. And after that quiet period, a load of clients came back and suddenly they were asking for massive lead nurturing campaigns, 24, 36 emails. And my theory is that kind of during that lull time is when a lot of people implemented new marketing automation systems and just spent a little bit of time getting to grips with them and learning how to use them properly.
So what exactly is a lead nurture campaign?
So lead nurturing is, it's a new way of, well, new in the last maybe couple of years, way of using email to stay front of mind with prospects while they go through the long kind of buying decision cycle that we see in the technology industry. So typically it will take an enterprise decision maker 3, 6, 9 months to come to decision about a new technology. And during that time, the vendor will want to stay in those people's thoughts. And one very good way of doing that is using email to send them regular, interesting, relevant, helpful content to help them come to that buying decision and hopefully go with their technology rather than somebody else's. So in terms of lead nurturing, a lead nurturing campaign is where you devise in advance a fairly long campaign of emails that you might be sending out once a week or once every fortnight, but over quite a long period. So during that that 3, 6, 9 month buying decision process to keep your brand front of mind with the decision maker.
How is it then obviously different from the old days of email marketing? I'm assuming frequency would certainly be one of the main differences.
Yeah, definitely. So in the old days, what we would see is marketers would come to us and say, we've got this white paper, we need an email campaign to promote it. Can you please write us one email that promotes the white paper and copy for a landing page that they would click through to from the email and register to download the white paper? And that would be the full extent of the email campaign. And after that, if the person had clicked through and downloaded the white paper, that lead would be handed over to telemarketing or to sales to follow up. And that would be the end. That would be the kind of extent of the contact with that person. And if they weren't ready to buy at that point, then they just sort of got thrown on the scrap heap. So now there's a recognition that people aren't always in a position to buy or not always ready to buy. They're at different stages in the decision-making process. So hence the fact that we're moving away from one email campaigns to sort of long campaigns of many emails over a certain period of time.
Well, what exactly then makes a lead nurture campaign successful? I mean, how would you know that it's actually working? Because obviously not everyone's going to interact with these emails that are being sent out to them if they're on the leads sort of database for a company.
This is the nice thing about marketing automation systems. So we're talking about software like Marketo, like Eloqua, like Silverpop, like Pardot, in that these systems allow you to set up these campaigns, but also allow you to track how they're doing. So tracking click-throughs and who does what, and depending on who downloads what, you can make a decision as to what they might be interested in or what stage they might be at in the buying cycle. You can send them into a stream of emails that you've set up for people at a particular stage. So if people really aren't ready to buy yet, you can send them into one particular stream where they receive content over a longer period of time. Or if you sense that they are ready to buy, they can be put into a fast track stream and then they'll be followed up more quickly by sales. So it's really the marketing automation software that's enabling marketers to track how well their campaigns are doing. But in terms of what makes a lead nurturing campaign successful, an awful lot of it is down to how you frame the emails, the content that you're offering, and making sure that that content is really well targeted towards the buyer that you're targeting. So there's an awful lot of work being done around creating buyer personas, so like understanding what kind of person you're talking to, what their interests are, what their needs are, and tailoring the content that you're promoting and the emails to those buyers and their needs. And so an obvious part of that is getting the copyright, which is where we come in as copywriters and copywriting agencies.
So what does the increasing use of lead nurturing campaigns mean for copywriters who are obviously being tasked with coming up with content for these and obviously the emails themselves and all their subject lines?
for copywriters and for copywriting agencies like us, it's a really huge opportunity. So whereas before, as I said, we were being asked to write, you know, email campaigns that consisted of one email and one landing page. Now we've got clients coming to us and saying, can you write this nurture campaign of, you know, 24, 36, 48 emails? So there's obviously the size of the project is bigger, but it also means for us learning a lot of new skills because it's a whole different way of approaching it from the way we would have approached a kind of one-off email plus landing pad campaign. And I think especially if you're an individual copywriter or a freelance copywriter, one of the things you've got to think about is, do I actually have the resource and the amount of hours in the day to work on this project? Because we're seeing that we're not getting much longer deadlines to create these huge campaigns than we would have done to create a one-off email and landing page campaign. So I think some of the things that copywriters might have to think about if they want to take advantage of this opportunity is, you know, do I actually have the resource to create all of these emails that I'm being asked to create? And if not, where am I going to get help from? That's probably the first thing. And the second thing is there's an awful lot to get your head round in terms of how marketing people are organising and planning and thinking about these campaigns. There tend to be some quite complex nurture flows, and we see some quite horrendous spreadsheets come in from our clients with, you know, stream A does this and stream B does this. Oh, and if somebody in stream A clicks on something, they move to stream B and then they get this set of emails. Or if they do something here, then they get this reminder, then they get this follow-up. So there's an awful lot to try to get your head around there of how these campaigns actually work in practice. And it takes some time to sort of really see that and see how it works. On top of that, you have to get to grips with the content that's being promoted in the emails. In the old days when you're doing one-off campaigns, you might have just one white paper to read and understand, okay, these are the key points of this paper that we need to promote in the email. Well, now you're having like 36 pieces of content to read through and understand, you know, how this matches up with your buyer's interests and what points am I going to pull out of here to make it compelling. So there's an awful lot of reading around to do before you're even ready to write the emails. There's also getting to grips with the buyer personas themselves. So a good client or a good marketing agency will supply a set of buyer personas where they've worked out, you know, who the target buyer is. So it's getting to grips with those and understanding all the people that are being targeted with the campaign and making sure the copy that you're writing maps to that. You also need to understand the different calls to action, because the aim of the nurture campaign is to move the prospective buyer through the buying process. So at the start, they may not be ready to make a buying decision at all. So your call to action is really just to get them to download the white paper or look at the video or the blog post or whatever it is that you're promoting there. But as you move through the campaign, there are going to be more sales-oriented calls to action, for example, to look at a demo or to take a trial of the product. So you need to get to grips with the different calls to action that you're using and the different types of content that you're using throughout the campaign, and adopt an appropriate pitch and an appropriate tone of voice where you're moving from a kind of informative, helpful situation to more of a kind of salesy situation by the end of the campaign. And then the bit that I personally find the most challenging is your marketing automation system. I mean, the thing that you're going to be measured on and the thing that marketers are going to be measured on is how many of these emails are opened and action taken upon them, because if they're not open, then there's no point sending them. So the most challenging thing for me is getting the subject line right that will prompt your recipient to actually open the email and read what the piece of content is that you're offering and then hopefully click through and take some action. And working out subject lines for, say, 36 emails, especially if your client is doing A/B testing and therefore wants more than one subject line per email because they're going to test the efficacy of different ones, you can end up trying to think of 115 odd subject lines for one email campaign, which takes a lot of creativity and a lot of thinking. And also it requires some consistency across the campaign as well, because the tone you use and the subject lines that you use and the way you write these emails have to conform to the brand tone of voice as well. They have to be recognisably from that brand, and therefore they have to be quite similar in format to each other. So it's a really interesting and really quite difficult but nicely creative challenge to come up with that many subject lines that will ensure that all of the emails are a success and not just a handful of them.
So are nurture campaigns one-off opportunities, or are there actually other opportunities for copywriters?
It's an interesting question, actually, because it's still really early days. And what seems to me at the moment to be happening is that marketers and their agencies are going in, looking at all of the content that already exists within the vendor organization and saying, we're going to create a nurture campaign that promotes all of this content. We'll segment it into sort of various stages of the buying cycle. So you might have top of funnel content, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel content. But what seems to be happening is that all of the existing content is being analyzed and packaged up and being used for the initial nurture campaign. I can't really tell what happens next because this is quite new. So once all that content is used up, then what happens? So I think there's certainly opportunities for copywriters to get involved in suggesting and creating new content to keep the nurture campaigns going, especially as, and I read a blog post that came out of the funnel event that took place last week by, I think it was Clever Touch Marketing, saying that really a 3-month cycle of nurture emails isn't long enough because your buying decision in technology tends to be around about 9 months. So you actually need emails for 9 months worth of communications. So that's an awful lot more content than 3 months worth of emails. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for copywriters to get involved in creating new content. And also when the kind of initial content audit is done, it generally throws up the fact that there's content missing here, and oh, you've got lots of top of funnel content, but you haven't got very much at the bottom of the funnel, or vice versa. So there are certainly opportunities for copywriters to pitch and get involved in writing new content pieces for nurturing campaigns.
So Fiona, do you have any final tips for copywriters who might be tasked with coming up with a lead nurturing campaign?
Really, the thing about nurture campaigns as opposed to individual one-off email campaigns, as I said before, is getting this subject line strategy right. And the tricky thing about subject lines is that there's no kind of empirical way of doing it. There's nothing that empirically works. I know there are a lot of surveys that say, oh, you know, this approach works and this approach doesn't work so well. But what we've noticed is that that's changing all the time. So something that worked 6 months ago, it may not work today. And in fact, it's probably unlikely to work today because something that a company like Adestra, who does reports on what subject lines are most effective, something that they say works will be something that then marketers all leap on and they all start doing it. And then the next thing you know is that your recipient's inbox is being clogged up with all of these emails that take exactly the same approach. They're going to realize that they're being the subject of nurture campaigns, that, you know, that marketers are using these techniques to try to get their attention, and then they'll just start filtering them out. So you have to keep up and stay ahead of what everybody else is doing in order to write subject lines that work. So I think some of the ways of doing that are to, first of all, keep a folder of marketing emails that you receive. So every marketing email that I receive, I put it into a folder. And then I'll regularly look through that folder for kind of inspiration in what I think are great subject lines and great subject line approaches and use those. I'll have a look at what everybody else is using and try to think of ways to do something a bit differently. And the really good tip that I have that I use myself is that when you're coming up with subject lines for your emails, send them to yourself. So you'll see them arriving in your inbox along with everything else that you're getting, and then you can make a decision based on seeing that arrive. You know, is this something that's going to stand out? Is it something that's going to make me want to open the email, or does it just look like another sort of me too piece of marketing that I'm just going to instantly delete?
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.